Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we heard this morning through song and praise. Now, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just fill our hearts, open our eyes that we might see. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Let a man so account of us, he says, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And it is required, the Bible says, in stewards, that we be found faithful. Now, Paul is saying, or you could translate it, this is how people should think of us. This is how people should think of us. We are ministers of Christ. Now, over in chapter 3, there's a rift going on. In the early part of the book, the people haven't grown spiritually. Isn't that kind of like our churches today? Usually in most churches, not so much in this one, but in a lot of churches, there's a little rift going on. And when you find something like this, it's probably because the devil is alive and well, and he's always trying to stir up trouble. Trouble is his name. Man, he loves to cause trouble. So the people haven't grown spiritually, and they are arguing. There's a division among them. One group says, I'm a Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. And there's that division there. Paul comes back and says, listen, we are all ministers of Christ. Now, you think about that this morning. You're here. If you are born again, and I pray that you are, what I mean by that is you realize you've come to the point in your life where you realize that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you've asked Christ, who died on the cross for you, to save you from your sin. And if you've asked him to do that, then he has come into your life. He sealed you with his precious presence, the Holy Spirit. And you are now a minister of Christ. Not so to speak that you stand up and preach, but you are a minister of the gospel of Christ. You're to tell people about Christ. He says, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, that church had all kinds of divisions in it. And Paul says, listen, I beseech you, I beg of you that you get united. That you get united. That you be of the same mind. Folks, that is what I pray for our church. I pray for all churches that, just like Paul said, listen, I want you to be united. Christ wants you to be united, working together. And this is what you are to think about us. We're working together. We're all ministers of Christ. And he says, stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, first, we see in this passage of Scripture, verse 1, that we have a relationship with God. What is our relationship with God? The Bible says we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, that word means that we are under rowers. You know what an under rower is? We are under rowers. Now, back in when I was young, I don't know what day that was, but that was a long time ago. How many of you saw the movie Ben-Hur? Oh, yeah, you remember that, don't you? They had those ships and they had those slaves down under those ships, and that's how they moved. They didn't have mercury outboard motors back then. They didn't have diesel-powered ships back then. They were slaves, and they would get out, and those soldiers would watch over them, and they would row together, and that big ship was moved across the ocean by those under rowers, those slaves. Paul says that's what we are. We are under rowers. We are God's under rowers. We're not Lord. We're not the masters. We are just slaves to God. We are stewards of God. We are rowers for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has made us under rowers, or stewards of the mysteries of God. You know what? Somebody told me not long back, said, "Man, you've got a great church up there." And I said, "That's not my church. That's the Lord's church." You see, I just row for God. I'm just here as an under rower for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just like you. I get up in the morning and I say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm in your army. I'm your servant. I'm your slave. I'm going to row today. Where do you want me to row to? This is not my church. This is not your church. This is God's church. And he has given us a responsibility of the mysteries of God." Now, back in the early days, the master of the house, the Bible says, you remember what Potiphar told Joseph? He saw that the Lord was with Joseph over in the Old Testament. Bill, what book's that? Over in the Old Testament, Potiphar, in Genesis, the last part of Genesis, Potiphar makes Joseph the head of his house. That means he put all things in his house. He was a steward of the house. And as the head steward there, he kept everything going in Potiphar's house. God blessed him. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that there was a lord or master of the house that came and gave one of his stewards 5 talents, 1 2-talents, and 1 1-talent. You remember that story? Well, God has given us a talent. I believe with all my heart, if you are a born-again Christian, God has equipped you with a talent or a gift that you can use in his church. And these stewards were stewards of the possessions of the master of the house. Just like we are stewards of God's church, we're under rowers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not the owners. We're just stewards. We have nothing in and of ourselves. All that we have is of God. And he says we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, what are the mysteries of God? Mysteries are something that man's intelligence could never figure out unless God has showed us. And God, through his word, has revealed his word to us. Through the revelation of God, we are stewards of the mysteries, or the revelations of God. Now, that is our relationship. We're stewards of God. We're stewards of the ministry of God. And we are to use his talents, his possessions, for what he wants us to use them for. Now, he also says there's a requirement. And this is the requirement of every single person who has been born again, that possesses the things which God has given him. What are that? Moreover, it's required, here's the requirement, in stewards, that one be found how? Faithful. That one be found faithful. Our relationship is under rowers. It's not ours, it's God's. We're just stewards of God. You see, we're stewards of the Master, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our relationship, He is the Master, we are His servants, we are His slaves, we are His under rowers. Now, He says, there's one thing I want of you. There's only one thing that I have to worry about, is that I be found faithful. Now, what about you? Are you faithful this morning? There's only one requirement. How will we be found when we stand face to face with God? Now, I want you to think about that. Or when God comes back, or when the Master, who is God, comes back, what in the world are you doing with the possessions that He's given you in your life? Are you doing the best with what God has given you? Are you doing with what God has given you the best job that you can do? Listen to Matthew 25, 14 through 30. The Lord says, a man was given the 5 talents, a man was given the 2, and the man given 1. And he took a journey. And when he came back, the one whom he'd give 5, he had gained another 5. The one that he had given 2 had gained another 2. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are faithful. You've taken what I've given you and you've used it. But the one that only got 1, you see, he didn't use his talent. He hid his talent. And when the Master came back, he had nothing to show for that. To the one who he gave 5 and to the one he gave 2, he said, listen, I want you to enter into the joy of the Lord. I want you to enter into the joy of the Lord. Here's what I want you to see. Listen closely. He doesn't make a distinction between the men in the great rewards, does he? The one he said that gave 5 and he doubled it, he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. To the one he gave 2 and he doubled it, he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. God commends them all alike. Now, the same principle upon which God judges is not according to our gifts, folks, but to our faithfulness in what He entrusts us with. Did you know that takes a lot of relief off of me? We've got this idea today that if our church is not baptizing 100 a year or 1,000 a year, or if our church doesn't run thousands of people in it, we spend our lifetime in a church and it doesn't run 1,000 people, well, you're a failure. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you use what God has blessed you with, the gift, it doesn't matter what size your church is. It doesn't matter what size your Sunday school class is. If you are faithful in teaching, you're faithful in preaching, God will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, we have young ministers coming out of the seminary now, And what they want is a mega church. They don't usually get that. And they get so disappointed that, well, I didn't get the big church that I wanted to get. They spend all time worrying about a big church. Listen, God says, just be faithful. And what? I have a good friend. He's a lot smarter than me. He's a lot more educated than me. He has spent his life, his whole life, preaching to 36 people. And you know what? I commend him for that, because he is faithful. You see? He will get the same rewards as, well, he'll get a lot more than old Joel Osteen, I'll guarantee you. I don't know if you like Joel or not. I don't know, really don't make any difference if you do or not. But I don't think he's going to be found faithful. But it doesn't matter. The mega church, Prestonwood is a mega church, I guess, the First Baptist, Dr. Jeffries. But let me tell you, God's not going to look down at Dr. Jeffries and say, man, you were the pastor of a great big church there in downtown Dallas, and you spent millions on that building, and praise God, I'm going to give you a whole lot more than I'm going to give that little boy down there that spent his life with 36 people. That's not going to be what God says. He's going to look at that young man that's preached to those 36 people for all his life. He was busy winning souls in that little town. You know what he told me? He says, somebody got to preach in that little town. And as God has put me there, I'm going to be faithful to do it. And you know what? When he gets to heaven, God will reward him just like he will Dr. Jeffries. And even more so, if he's not faithful, you see? God says it is required that we be found faithful. To be true, to be honest, to be dedicated to God's word and to God's work that he has given you. To be worthy stewards of one of the most prized of all characteristics. Faithfulness. Now, you want to talk about what God has given a person and what makes a great church. Man, I tell you what makes a great church is people committed. Man, I saw that this week as they got out. I thank you so much for your time you spent out there in that garage sale. That's people committed to a cause. Man, you helped those youth. You worked. I know Miss Susan worked hard. I thank God for every staff person we've got who works hard at what they do. Listen, it's not about us. It's all about God. And that's what makes a great church. I'm certainly not the most gifted of all preachers. You know, I know some who are a lot more eloquent in speaking than this old country boy here. Sometimes you have to ask me what I said because you can't understand it. You know, I didn't know for a long time that I spoke two languages. I speak English and I speak poor English. And I may speak a little bit of Spanish. You see, but let me tell you something. I know preachers that are a lot more gloriously gifted than I am in speaking. And I could bring them here to speak. And we do. We have some great speakers here. Brother Bob is a great speaker. We have him every other year. But let me tell you something. Just preaching doesn't make a great church. If that was the case, you could invite preachers here and they could preach this till heaven came down. Singing. Man, we got some of the great singers here, boy. Musicians, I tell you, you won't find any better musicians in First Baptist Church Dallas than we've got right here. But let me tell you something. We could invite singers in. We could invite piano players and organists and music players in here. But that alone is not what makes a great church. You see, it takes people who are committed to God's word to be found faithful. That's what makes a glorious church, is this thing called dedication, commitment, a faithfulness to the things that God has committed to us. Right here in First Baptist Church, Gunnersboro. I read a story about an evangelist years ago that said he had gone to a church. It was rather small in size. It was years ago when they had those little country churches, and the evangelist went there, and when he got there, the church, he was amazed that this little country church was full of people. People standing up in the back, people looking in the windows. Man, he couldn't believe how many people were there at that little church. And he was sitting up here with the pastor, and he noticed a young man. And he had a big ribbon on his shirt, and it had BR on that ribbon. He began to look at that, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "I want to know something. What does that BR stand for on that boy's shirt out there?" And he said, "Well, Johnny is the little boy's name." And he said, "He's not the brightest of all the kids, but he likes to ring the bell at the church. And he's proud of that, and he had his mother make him that ribbon, and it's got BR for bell ringer. And he wants everybody to know that he's faithful in ringing the bell. He's the bell ringer." And that preacher said, "You know what? That is an amazing thing about that young man. That I'm so proud that he's doing something." So after church, he thought he would drop by the little boy and tell him that he was proud of him for ringing the bell at the church. And so after the churches, the great evangelist made his way back to the little boy and said, "Young man, I see that you are the bell ringer for the church." And he said, "Yes, I am, sir. I'm the bell ringer, and I rang the bell for you tonight. All evening long, I would ring that bell, and people would know that we are meeting and you are coming." And he said, "Young man, that's just wonderful to know that you would do something like that." And he said, "But that's not all I did." And the guy, evangelist, said, "Well, what else did you do?" And he said, "Well, after I rang the bell, I come into the church and I swept it out and I cleaned it up and I made it look real good for the people." He said, "Young man, that's just great that you would do that." And he said, "But that's not all I did." And he said, "What else did you do?" He said, "Well, it was kind of cold, so I got out and I got the wood and I built the fires and the old heaters in the back and I warmed it up in here so that it would be comfortable for everybody." He said, "Young man, you did all of that?" He said, "Yes, sir, but that's not all I did." And he's beginning to think, "What else could you do?" And he said, "What did you do, young man?" He said, "I knew you was coming. And I knew the people needed to hear God's word. So this week I went to every door and knocked on every door. And I said, 'Listen, we've got a great evangelist that's going to preach about Jesus. Would you come?'" And he said, "They're all here." That evangelist said, "You know what, Pastor? I wish my church was full of not so bright people that were proud to be a bell ringer." Folks, that's what makes a great church. It doesn't matter if you are a bell ringer or if you are a janitor or whatever you do. Do it faithfully to the Lord and He will bless you. That's all He requires, is that you be found faithful. You see, we are under rowers. You know something about those under rowers? They've got to be working together. If they don't row together, that ship's not going to go very far. If a church doesn't row together, it's not going to be a great church for God. If you have little people over here and they're griping, if you have people over here that's griping, that's what Paul says. You haven't grown. You should be eating the meat of the word, but you still have to be fed with milk. Folks, if you haven't grown in your Christian life, something's wrong. You're not committed. Oh, what a faithful congregation will do towards building up of a great church for Jesus Christ. Our relationship is that we are under rowers of the stewards of the Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has given us a responsibility as stewards of the mysteries or the revelations of God, and our requirement is to be found faithful. Now, our one great devotion is to be devoted to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I may not have much, but what I have, I dedicate to God. That's all that's required. You remember, the two men said, listen, silver and gold, we don't have. But what we do have, in the name of the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What did Paul say at the end of his life? I am ready. Why? Because I have kept the faith. In other words, I have been faithful unto death. This morning, how would you be found? If Christ came back today, how would you be found this morning? Faithful? Would he say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or would he say, cast him out? He has done nothing with what I've given him. As we give the invitation, if you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, that is the first thing that you need to do. You need to come simply by faith, saying, Lord, I realize I'm lost. I realize I need a Savior, and I realize that you are the Savior of the world. You died for me. You rose again for me, and you are coming back one day for me. I believe that with all my heart, and as the day are fastly approaching, I do believe. So as we give this invitation, God says, come. Come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, come, I will give you rest. It's just that simple. Lord, I give you my heart. I just want to be the best bell ringer that First Baptist Church has got. I want to be committed. I want to be found faithful. Would you come? Maybe here this morning and you're a member already, but you're not faithful, you're not committed as you used to be. Would you come down and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, today I realize that I haven't been as faithful to you. I put other things before you. And you get on your knees before God and you say, Lord, forgive me for that. Let me be found faithful. He says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home. You've been out of church or whatever, you need a church home. People all the time say, we just moved into the neighborhood. I said, how long you been here? Oh, about 5 years. You've been doing a lot of moving. But if you're here and you're looking for a church home, would you come? If God tells you, would you join? I'd be glad to share with you how you can join. I believe with all my heart this is one of the greatest churches this side of heaven. Not just because I'm the pastor. It's because people who are faithful. You know, I don't even have to be here. And this church carries on just like it always has. Not because me, it's because people who are faithful to God. Isn't that great? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we can be found faithful. And Lord, if you come back today, I pray that every one of us can say, Lord, we have been faithful. But if not, Lord, I pray that we'll come right now and make things right so that we can have revival in our own heart. And if there's someone here that needs to come for salvation this morning, let them come. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.